I get to speak today too. And again, it's the first week of our month of celebration as 45 years as a church family. And, you know, that's really a milestone. How many in the room have been married 45 years or more? Okay, so like a few. Okay, a few. And I mean, some of you are not nearly old enough to have been married 45 years, so that's okay. But you know, any relationship that can last 45 years is worth celebrating. Last year, Dave and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, and our granddaughter's boyfriend's mother sent a gift because she said, "Oh, 50 years, that's worth celebrating." So here we are, 45 years as a church, which is kind of a real milestone. I distinctly remember my first Sunday at Agape. It was August of 1980. We were not here to pastor the church, nowhere near close. I mean, nobody would have wanted us to pastor anything at that point in our lives. We moved here, interestingly enough, on my 23rd birthday. So if you do the math, that dates me. But we moved here on my 23rd birthday, moved to Clear Lake. Dave had been transferred here. He had a really good job, but we were a broken family. A broken couple of kids trying to get through life together. Had two kids of our own. We were probably breaking them too. And we came to this place called Agape because some people we met invited us to church. People we didn't know. People we met just kind of in an interesting way. They invited us to church and we came. And that started a journey for us of God taking our brokenness. And no, it wasn't certainly an overnight sensation, and it's not over yet. But here we are 45 years later, and look what the Lord has done. I mean, just look at your own life and look what the Lord has done. It's worth celebrating. So today, we're just going to take a few minutes, and I'm just going to share some of my favorite scriptures. And I think that we all have our favorites, there's no doubt, and how they relate to all of our lives. And you know, scripture is the word of God. It is the power of God in his word, and it's meaningful and it's transformational, and we all have those that we grab onto in a time of trouble or in a time of distress or in a time of joy. We all have scriptures that we hang on to and they become our favorite, but you know, they all relate to all of us all the time. And it's easy and it's very common in life to feel alone. How many of you ever felt like you've been alone in your circumstances, like nobody else has felt exactly the same way you do? Like, and you know, I think that's, it's common, and it's a trap, because when we feel alone, we tend to isolate ourselves, because when we feel alone, when we feel like we're the only one experiencing whatever life is giving us right now, we sort of, there's some shame attached to that if we feel alone. And when we feel kind of ashamed or kind of like, you know, kind of guilty about how we're feeling about the situation, we tend to isolate ourselves. And that's one of the enemy's meanest tricks, is to isolate us and to make us feel alone, like no one else is experiencing what I'm experiencing. But let me tell you today, regardless of what you are experiencing in life, whether you're on the highest mountain or whether you're in the lowest valley, you are not alone. You're not alone spiritually, because God is with you, and you are not alone relationally. You are not alone physically. There are people that understand what you're going through right now, what you've been through, what you're experiencing. And let me read again. This is probably not going to be like super revelatory today. It's not some new teaching nobody's ever heard before. I don't know any of those. And I'm a little skeptical of those. Because, you know, if nobody's ever heard it before, it's not very tried and tested, is it? So we're going to talk about some tried and tested stuff today that we've probably heard before, but I think it's going to help us. And probably in my top 10 of all-time favorite scriptures is Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. I may paraphrase a little bit because I can't help myself. But here we go. And a lot of you know it, but we're going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, this is Paul talking. He says, "Do not fret." Yeah, right. Well, there's a tall order. See, already I could feel a little ashamed of myself. I could feel a little bit like nobody worries as much as I do. There's something wrong with me in the middle of the night when my brain goes crazy. Nobody else experiences that. When your brain at 3 a.m., I found this. This is not original. I found this on Facebook. It says, "Brain at 3 a.m., I can see you're trying to sleep. So I would like to offer you a selection of every memory, unresolved issue, or thing you should have said or done today, as well as over the past 30 years. Because how many of you wake up in the middle of the night with a racing mind? Here's Paul talking. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace will be yours. That peace that transcends all understanding will mount a guard around your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, for the rest, brethren, and he's still talking about being at peace. He's still talking about having rest. He's still talking about fighting that fear and anxiety that comes on us and tries to overtake us. He says, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things and fix your mind on them. Well, that, you know, again, the Bible is full of tools. And some of us, and this is the way my brain tends to roll, as I get older, it doesn't do it so much, and I'm thankful for that, because I don't know if it's age or wisdom or just I'm tired. I don't know what it is. But I used to be real rule-minded. I could make a rule. I could keep a rule. I could find a rule. If you're looking for a rule, if you're looking for rules of life, I can find you a rule. And, you know, a lot of us see the Bible that way, as a book of rules, right? I mean, we do. Some of our minds tend to filter that way. In my old age, I'm becoming a bit of a rebel. I break rules sometimes. Thank you. Sometimes, you know, I don't do what's expected of me. And I think that if we would just adjust our thought processes a little bit, and we'd look at the Bible as a book of tools instead of a book of rules, I think we'll feel a lot of relief. We won't feel nearly so pressured to follow all these rules that none of us can follow anyway, because it's impossible. That's why we need Jesus, you know, and Jesus came, you know the story. And so here's the deal. Let's look at this today as some tools to help us work through the situations and the circumstances that we're experiencing in life. So we're going to find some tools today. Now, we have to realize that weeds are prolific and they always grow, right? I mean, we were at Okoboji 2 weeks ago for our annual summer. You know, somebody said one time very wisely, when you go on a trip with your family, it's not a family vacation, it's a family trip. That helped me. It set my expectations better, okay? Because when you go just, you know, with maybe you're on a girlfriend trip or you're on a spousal trip or you're on a guy's trip, that's a vacation. When you're taking children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, that's a family trip. And that'll set your expectations a little more evenly. Anyway, so we're on a family trip at Okoboji, and Christy and I are out on a walk. And we walk by this really pretty house on the lake, and she goes, wow, look at that. That's artificial turf on that lawn. Because it was like this perfect green lawn. And we're like, oh, wait, that's not real. That's artificial turf. But you know what? There were weeds poking up through that artificial turf. I mean, those weeds are resilient boogers. They will creep up through everything. And our life sometimes, you know, in the midst of what we think we got this all padded down and figured out, a weed pops up. And there will always be challenges. There will always be circumstances. There are always going to be weeds in the garden of our life, right? We got to set our expectations to a reasonable level so we're not shocked and appalled and surprised and don't even know that God has tools to help us through these situations. So God's word is full of tools that are relevant to all of our lives and all of our circumstances. And we're going to look at a few of those today. And I'm going to read you a few more of my favorite scriptures that I find to be very helpful when I'm struggling in life, when I'm dealing with circumstances I can't control. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Because, you know, again, those of us that are a little older and have had a little more of life hit us in the face, we realize we don't have control over very much, do we? I mean, I know I've got a wide, I've got teenagers in here, and I've got clear up to, I don't know who the oldest person is in the room, it doesn't really matter. But we've got a wide range of experience in here, a wide range of life experience in here. And the more life experience we have, the more we realize how little we actually get to control. And like I said, we're going to hit that again in a minute. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, another really helpful tool when it comes to dealing with circumstances in life, dealing with painful circumstances, dealing with anxiety, dealing with fear, dealing with some of those things that come upon us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5. And again, this is Paul talking. And he says, let me paraphrase and preface here a little bit. Basically, we're kind of in a war, right? We're in a war on lots of levels. We're in a war, you know, ultimately, you know, the war of good and evil, right? You know, there's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There's some nasty stuff that goes on in this world system, right? And so there's a war. And we are, and many times in the Bible, God compares us to fighting the good fight, or we are soldiers, you know, put on the whole armor of God. You know, there's a situation in this atmosphere, in this world that we live at, we're in war. Sometimes, you know, we can bring it a little closer to home. Sometimes we're at war with our family, with our spouse, with our kids, with our siblings, with our jobs, with our teachers, with our bosses, whatever the situation is. Sometimes we're experiencing war there. We're experiencing a place where we're in deep contention. And the Bible tells us, and Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the weapons of our warfare. So, you know, we're at war, and I think he's talking about the bigger picture here, the war that we're in against evil forces in the world. But you can bring this anywhere you need it. It's a tool, and it'll help you in any circumstance in life that you're experiencing right now. He says the weapons of our warfare, they're not physical, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we've talked about this many times in years past. A stronghold in this particular situation is simply a habit structure of thought that has become so rooted and grounded in us that it's our go-to. Like, I don't know, how many of you have ever had teenagers? Maybe you still have them. How many of you have ever had teenagers? How many of your teenagers have really done some bonehead stuff? Well, how many of you ever were teenagers and you did the same bonehead stuff? So we're not, you know, throwing shade on the teenagers here, because we all used to be one, but unless we're not one yet. But so how many of you have ever had a teenager that broke curfew? How many of you ever laid in bed at night realizing that said teenager has not home yet? You're watching the clock. You're not sleeping. You're pondering every possible scenario that could happen. You hear a siren in the distance. Surely this means thus and so and thus and so. And your brain is coming up with every possible ugly scenario. Do you know that probably, I don't know what the actual statistic is, I've seen lots of things, over 99% of those imaginations in our mind never come to pass. But our brains, our strongholds, our structures of thought, our habits of thought just want to take over. And Paul says, when that's going on, you refute arguments and theories and reasonings and everything that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God. Lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And you know, I've had to think about this in my own life a lot, because I worry. That's one of my go-to places. I worry. And so how do you take that worry, and how, I like what Tammy said one time. I remember a lot of things you said, but this was a really good one for me anyway. You said, we say we don't have imagination. Well, we can sure imagine a lot in our worries, can't we? I mean, our imagination, we say, well, I can't do this and that because I don't have much of an imagination. Oh, yeah, you do. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you got a vivid imagination. And sometimes we need to turn it around for the good. And so how can we take what is tormenting us, the fears, the anxieties, and how can we subject them or make them subject to the Word of God, to what God says? Well, I don't know how it works for you, but this is how it can work for me in the middle of the night. I have to stop it. I have to just wake up enough to stop it, to say, wait, what is happening here? And my brain goes to music. Not all of yours will. Some of your brains will go to scripture. Some of your brains will go to a peaceful place or peaceful thoughts, or, you know, maybe you're going to go sit by the lake and throw a fishing pole in. You know, maybe that's where your brain needs to go to bring you peace, to find peace in just knowing that God's creation and just a place of peace for you. But, you know, my brain goes to music, and I cannot tell you how many nights of my life I have sung myself back to sleep. I don't even, it's not out loud. I'd wake Dave up and the dog, and then it would be a real mess. But no, it's just in my heart and in my mind. And, you know, you all know that our family a few years ago experienced, Sky, when she was diagnosed with cancer and that horribly aggressive form of leukemia that she was diagnosed with. And every day we got a new bad report from the doctor. You know, every day it was worse, and every day it was worse, and and the poor little girl was going through torment, you know, just trying to live. And we were all going through torment, trying to live. And I would lay awake at night or wake up at night, and all the fear and all the anxiety and all the what ifs would just roll into my brain. And I don't even know if I can sing anymore because I'm losing my voice. But I would, this is the song. I would just be, I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. If you know the chorus, sing with me. For all my life you have been faithful. That's what we need to remember. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. That song saved my life. Saved my life. It's how we bring every thought captive. You know, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, super scientific or formulomatic or whatever. It's whatever brings you that sense of peace in the presence of God, whatever that means for you. Another tool that's helpful to us is 1 Thessalonians. And again, these are very familiar portions of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances, be thankful, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I really paraphrased that, didn't I? But anyway, thank God. And you know, it doesn't say thank God for every situation, but it says in the midst of every situation, thank God. Because you know, last week I had the opportunity to work with the kids during church time, and it was really fun. And we talked about all things working together for good, because that's the next scripture tool. It's Romans 8:28. It's all things work together for good. And you know, we don't need to, I mean, everything that happens to us is not God. There's evil in this world. There's that war we talked about. However, everything that does happen to us, God can turn around for our good if we give it to him, if we cast it on him. For 1 Peter 5:7, if we cast our cares on him, he cares for us if we give it to him. I remember one day, years ago, Sky was a teenager, and I don't think she'd mind if I shared because she wrote a school paper about it. But anyway, she was a teenager, and one night she came into youth group on a Wednesday night, and she was distraught, absolutely distraught. And one thing about our family, anxiety sort of runs in our genetics. Sorry, I mean, you fight it as long as you can, but it's just there, so it's best to just deal with it. So we've all dealt with it at one level or another. Sky was just, she was just frantic that night, and she was just full of anxiety, and she pulled me off into the corner. She said, Mimi, I don't know what to do. I'm just, you know. I said, okay, let's do this. Let's just, what is it that you're afraid of? What is it that's bothering you right now? Because when our minds are racing, it's real hard to stop and identify those things. I said, let's just identify two or three things that you're struggling with right now. And she said, okay. Okay. So she gave me, and I said, okay. Okay. Let's take each one of those things and let's give it to God. Let's just take each one. I'm afraid of X. I'm afraid, I don't remember what the circumstance were. Let's just say, I'm afraid I'm going to fail a test tomorrow. I don't know. And I said, let's just pray about that. Let's take that to God and give that to God. What a tool, what an exercise to be able to cast our cares upon him, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, to throw our cares upon him, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, instead of being afraid, in Philippians 4, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, take each request to God. Identify what's going on in our lives and give it to God. Romans 8:28, I want to read it to you. It says, for we are assured, we know that God, being a partner in their labor, that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, you know what? There's the only prerequisite there is loving God. And we all love God. And he's going to take all those situations in our lives and work them together good. And, you know, I can't explain how that happens. I don't know how that's going to happen for you, because some situations, you know, are way beyond our human ability to understand why. We don't get why. I don't understand why. I don't understand. But I do know that God is good. And I do know Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded, Paul said. Persuaded is a strong word. I am persuaded, I have no doubt, I am sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending or threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, not height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That covers it all. Whatever the circumstances or situations are that you're going through right now, God's love will never fail. And his love will never leave us. And we are never alone. And you know, some of the biggest challenges that we carry are not even ours to carry. Boy, that's where it gets really frustrating, isn't it? When you're carrying somebody else's stuff and trying to fix somebody else's stuff, and you care more about fixing their stuff than they care about fixing their stuff. That's a tough situation to be in, isn't it? And a couple years ago, I was still recovering from circumstances in life. One of them was Sky being sick, and there were just lots of things in life that I was trying to work through. And I went and saw a therapist, and I wish I could find a therapist close by that I could see more often, because I think that would be something that I would really love to do, but I haven't done that. But I did see a therapist for a little while. And, you know, I walked away after I don't know how many sessions, but here is what I walked away with that has stuck with me and has become a bit of my mantra, is it's not my job. Because there are some things in life that are my job and your job, but there is a whole lot longer list of things that aren't your job. And we get ourselves stuck in life when we are trying to do jobs that don't belong to us. I mean, you just think about it. If you went into your workplace and you started trying to do everybody else's job, they'd probably ask you to leave, unless they weren't doing their job. But I mean, if you just got in everybody's way and said, well, no, I'm going to do it. I mean, that's just not a healthy situation, is it? It's not a healthy environment. Another thing that has been kind of helpful, and a lot of you know this, some of you have it tattooed on your body, which I think is awesome. If I wasn't such a weenie about that thing, I'd probably have it tattooed on my body. But that let them. How many of you have a let them tattoo? Yeah, I know Jenny and Mariposa do too. Anybody else have a let them? Well, we can have it tattooed in our brain even if we don't have it tattooed in our body. But, you know, just to, it's not my job, and let them. Your kids are having a bad day? Let them. I mean, keep them protected. You know, keep them as safe as you can keep them, but let them have a bad day. I mean, things are going things are not how you expect them to be, people are not acting the way you want them to act, let them. People are having emotions, let them. You're having emotions, let you. Allow things to happen that you can't control it. You can't fix it. So really, if we just sit back and we think about a time when we have felt great stress or anxiety, some of us are in it right now, so it's not hard to think of it. Some of us have to think of a specific circumstance or a time in our lives. Well, here are just some helpful steps and guidelines. We've already touched on it, but number one, identify the issue. A racing brain is not going to get you anywhere but in more frantic and more full of anxiety and fear. So identify the issue. Identify our feelings surrounding the issue. You know, I remember, you know, I'm supposed to be, well, this is my own thing. This is not what you expected me. But I expect myself to be tough and strong. Not so much anymore. But I have most of my life, expected myself to be tough and strong. It was just one of those unhealthy thinking patterns that I developed at a very young age, and I've all my life expected myself to be tough and strong. So, you know, when you expect yourself to be tough and strong, you know, you really can't let down in front of anybody, right? Because then you wouldn't look tough and strong anymore. But when Sky got sick, I remember many of you came up to me at church and asked me how I was doing. And you know what? I had come to a place in my life where I could no longer be tough and strong, and I said, I'm scared and I'm sad. Sometimes we just have to identify the emotions surrounding the situation. I'm scared. Well, that's not very faith. None of you said this. I would have said this to myself. Well, that's not a faith statement. Well, so what? I mean, none of us are superheroes. We all have emotions. We all feel. And if we can identify those feelings and allow God to touch the feelings, I mean, when we say we're fine, we're just lying. Because we're not fine sometimes. Sometimes we are, and if we're fine, we're fine. That's okay with that. But sometimes we're not fine, and we tell people we're fine, and we're just lying, and how we expect God to work in that. And be honest. You don't have to dump everything on everybody, but, you know, if somebody that loves you and knows you're going through a hard time comes up to you and says, how are you feeling? You can tell them how you're feeling. You can tell yourself how you're feeling. You can tell God how you're feeling. He's not bothered by it. He's experienced all those feelings. Jesus has said experienced everything we experience. So it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have any of the emotions that you have, and it's okay to be able to identify those and identify the feelings surrounding whatever we're going through and give it to God. It's also very helpful to identify whether it's my issue or someone else's. In other words, is it my job? Because let's face it, if it's not my job, I don't have any control. In life, some things we have total control, some things we have limited control, some things we only have influence, some things we have absolutely no control over, and that's the biggest list. So let's just ponder that for a minute, using the tools that God has provided, giving every situation to Him, identifying those situations, praying specifically about that, allowing Him to bring peace to our hearts and our minds, to build a strong wall of protection, a strong wall of peace around our hearts and minds, replacing our thoughts, our racing thoughts, with positive thoughts, giving thanks, singing songs of praise, casting or throwing the care of it to God, reminding ourselves that all things work together for good for me because I love God. I don't see it now. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God said it, and I will hold on to it, that all things will work together for me for good because I love God, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are good. And every thought You have toward us is good. And God, You're just like the best parent. I mean, all of us that are parents want good for our children. We want the best for our children. But God, You take that times a million. You want us to have everything that you've provided for us. And God, you've given us the tools and your words to help us walk through this life, this earth, this world that we live in, and face the circumstances that we face. And so, Father, right now, we just invite your love into our lives in a beautiful, personal way today, Father. We just choose to allow you to wrap your arms of love around us, to hold us close, to bring us comfort, to bring us peace. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children and you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we probably have some prayer friends that maybe can come. If you would like to have prayer, if you just want to talk to somebody about something, if maybe God's sparked a little something in your heart today and you want to talk to somebody,